Hey there! Welcome to Well Dukes. This podcast is brought to you by UREC Health Promotion. Tune in every other Wednesday for conversations that we hope challenge what you know, think, or do in regard to your own health and wellness and helps you be Well Dukes.
Hello, Dukes, and welcome back to the Well Dukes podcast. My name is Lauren Schutt, and I am your host. Today, we are joined with Dimitri. Dimitri, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Dimitri Turner. I am a junior here at JMU, a quantitative finance major with a double minor in mathematics and econs. Oh, a lot on my plate there, but also a member of the men's soccer team here. Glad to be here on the podcast, and thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you today. So today, our topic is going to be the five things you need to know about situational sobriety. So at number one, Dimitri, we'd really love to get an idea of what situational sobriety is and then kind of what it means to you as well.
Yeah, so situational sobriety, you know, my take on it is, you know, it's choosing, you know, whether it's based off of your preferences, whether it's based off of time, whether it's based off of where you are geographically, and kind of the motives behind your decision of becoming sober. So, you know, just being absent from, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. And I think, you know, my take on it for me, you know, my personal experience is like, I've never, you know, had any kind of encounter with, you know, alcohol or any substances of that nature. You know, and it's definitely hard being in, or it's not hard, but I'm in an environment where, you know, actions and activities that involve those substances is very prevalent. But, you know, everyone has their own journey with it. Everyone has their own experience and motives behind it. So that's just kind of, you know, my take on it.
Yeah. So when it comes to those motives, yeah, that's really looking at why people choose to or why people choose not to be situationally sober. So could you kind of give us an idea of maybe why you choose and then why you think other people choose to be situationally sober?
Yeah. So for me personally, it really just derives from, I would say, not really even kind of noticing it until I got older, but you know, kind of from family background and having a lot of people that I've seen growing up struggle with substance abuse. You know, I've seen a lot of loved ones in my life struggle with that and have their own fight against it. And you know, I didn't really realize the impact I guess it would have on me until I got into an environment where I see these substances around me and they're very accessible. And, you know, without even realizing it, I just had those, you know, those thoughts of like my family members pop up into my head. And that kind of motivates me to stay situationally sober. And, you know, for other people, I think that their motives are a lot of it. It's based off of, I feel like, on maybe two things, maybe they want to focus on other aspects of their life. You know, they want to be, you know, maybe more productive, or they want to focus on fixing relationships that they have with other people in their life. They want to, you know, focus on getting healthier, getting fitter, you know, something like that. Is they want to put more time and effort into other areas of their life. And they realize that if they're not sober, if they're taking these substances, they're taking away kind of energy and focus, and they're taking away that level of commitment that they want to put in somewhere else in their life, and they're putting it, you know, to those substances. And so I think, you know, that's a big reason for it, why I think people stay situationally sober.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Kind of leaning more into that. How do you think it's personally benefited you?
Yeah, I've seen a huge impact. You know, I'm definitely a very busy person. I like to stay busy. You know, I feel like that's just kind of the personality that I am. And I find that by staying situationally sober, I'm able to have a clear mind and a more productive day, because, you know, if I'm making the decision to stay situationally sober, you know, I'm able to go and wake up the next day and get right to doing things, you know, and completing my checklist. You know, I'm able to wake up at 8 a.m., get to work at 9, and able to keep that same energy throughout the whole day, and then do it again the next day. And then even when it's like, let's say you don't have as busy of a weekend or something, you know, let's say you can take a couple days off, but let's say you do have a something that you have to do on Monday. Let's say if you decide to use some substances, you know, you wake up and yeah, the next day you're feeling a little bit lethargic, you know, you don't have a very clear mind, it's a bit foggy. Yeah, that still rolls over even to like the next day after that. You know, so it's knowing that what works for you and knowing how, you know, you recover physically, mentally. And I feel like by me staying situationally sober, like I'm able to stay sharp physically, mentally, you know, whenever I need to.
Exactly. So when we're looking at why people choose or choose not to, I feel like a lot of the stigma around it is around common misconceptions with the decision to be situationally sober. Could you kind of speak to maybe some things that you've encountered, like personally, as far as misconceptions go with being situationally sober, things that you've seen with other people that have made this decision?
Yeah, so I would say some of the misconceptions, you know, whenever I tell somebody that I've been sober, you know, and I've been sober my entire life and even 3 years in college, the first reaction that I usually get is a bit of a like a dumbfounded look, and they look surprised, or they don't believe me, you know, and they'll have to like second guess it and be like, are you serious? Like, are you serious? Like, not joking right now? And I'm like, yeah, I've been sober my entire life. And then, so usually it becomes kind of a disbelief is like the initial reaction. But I would say the misconception that I received is that somebody thinks that maybe that like after they don't believe it, they think that there's probably a time of, you know, abuse in the past. So they think, okay, if this person's situationally sober right now, it must be because when they aren't sober, they must be like off the walls crazy. Like they don't know how to, you know, be responsible with these substances. They don't know how to control themselves under these substances. Or they may think that like they're just like an uptight, you know, doesn't like to have any fun. You know, they're just, you know, all work, no play. You know, and I think those are some kind of like misconceptions is that people think that like, oh, you know, you're not out here like drinking tonight. Oh, okay, well then you just must not want to have a good time or something. I think a lot of people think that you have to drink or use these substances in order to enjoy yourself. And I think that's one thing about situational sobriety where it's like I can be sober and have just as much fun and enjoy the situation and have a laugh just as much as you are while using them. So I think those are a couple of misconceptions that go around.
Absolutely. And with those misconceptions, and especially that you're like, you're not fun or something like that, I know that can be difficult. So could you give anybody like an idea or some advice as far as how you deal with situations when you're maybe not being necessarily pressured, but like when you're having a hard time with it, or when you're in a situation where everybody else is consuming, or choosing to consume and you're not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of times. Most situations where I am in those environments, I usually am the only one that isn't, you know, drinking or using any of those substances. And it can be difficult because, you know, you don't want to feel like the one that, you know, like out of place. You don't want to be like the one, like the oddball out. But it really it's you're really not. It's I mean, everyone has their own way of having fun and enjoying those situations. And I would just say like be confident in those situations. You know, do what makes you happy. You know, find like it just because someone else chooses to drink and they find enjoyment from that, that's fine. I have nothing against that. And just as they shouldn't have anything against me choosing to derive my enjoyment from staying away from those substances. And so for me, you know, I always people are always kind and wanting to offer me something. And I have to remind them, this is what I choose to do. And oftentimes they're very respectful, but I would just say that like I tend to give my explanation why, because people, usually don't believe me. But after that, I usually explain like, hey, like I find my enjoyment from other things, like, playing games or listening to the music, stuff like that. So I usually try to show that, I'm here to have, a good time and enjoy myself just like you are. So like, here's, I may offer, my route of enjoyment. If someone maybe offers me a drink, I'm like, oh no, it's okay. But how about we go like, go dance instead or something? I usually try and invite them into my world and try and show them my form of enjoyment instead of just it always being, something that they see as like, oh, why are they not drinking or something? So like, I try to show them how I have my fun and try and show them, give them a little bit of a sneak peek into my world and, what goes on with me.
Absolutely. It's anytime you can like give perspective instead of just kind of like shutting people down. I think it's like a really
Yeah.
good way to have that conversation. When you're having that conversation with people, other than like giving them that that little peek into what you do to have your fun and how you interact in these situations, how do you actually have the conversation when people are a little more combative about it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it can definitely be tough because, people, when you are the minority in these environments, and there's times where people are very persistent in trying to get you to accept some substances and stuff like that, or they're not very acceptive of your motives of why you choose to be situationally sober. I would say in those moments, it's definitely been a test for me and a test of my character to stick to my beliefs and my values. And I've yet to go against them. So I'm glad to see the commitment that I have to those values. But I would say that if your motives are true and your motives are pure and you truly want to stay situationally sober, that you should be confident in who you are, be confident in your motives, and don't let, one opinion, two opinions, someone coming up to you and giving you a hard time or arguing with you, don't let that discourage you. If anything, let that motivate you to stick to your values even more. And I would say, surround yourself with people that are going to help you stick to your journey of being situationally sober, because it can't, sometimes it's not easy. Some people, maybe they've been using these substances for a while and they don't like the way they've been feeling, and they know what's best for them is to be, situationally sober, and they try and start that journey moving forward. I would say reach out to the people that you're around, that you're closest to, that truly care about you, and they can help you in those situations. Because, sometimes a stranger will come up to you and ask you, why aren't you drinking? Or and they may be persistent and they may be asking you more questions and challenging your motives. But if you have someone around you, or if you have a group of people around you that understand your values, that understand why you're choosing to be situationally sober, it can help you get through those moments. They can come in and help you and be like, hey, this is why they choose to be situationally sober. You should respect those beliefs. So it doesn't feel like you're having to go through it by yourself, or you're doesn't feel like you're having to face these challenges, face these people that are against you by yourself. It's a lot easier to go through these moments with other people, and it can help you have even more growth too. You may be able to go through these moments and you'll be able to even succeed and be able to deal with these pressures by yourself. I have a lot of confidence in that the people that choose to go through it can succeed by themselves. But you can see even more growth, and you can get to that growth even faster if you're doing it with people behind you and in your corner.
Yeah, it takes a village sometimes,
It
that's for
definitely
sure.
does.
Yeah. So, tacking on to a little more advice, what advice do you have for people that are just starting their journey in college when it is all around?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I first off, I just want to say that I understand the challenges because you're in an environment where it's so prevalent and it's almost just embedded into the culture. And you may want to feel a part of that culture, and you may feel like you're missing out because you don't participate. But I just want you to know that find groups, find people that share the same values as you, that share the same interests, that share, and it can be tough because you feel like you're the minority. But I want you to know that, like, there are people out there that have, the same beliefs as you, that have the same interests as you. And there's a lot of different groups on campus that you can be a part of and that you can find identity within. And even if you do want to go out and enjoy yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. And that make sure that you're just putting yourself in environments where you're able to do these things in a safe way. Maybe if you know that there's going to be a lot of, substances at a function later on, and you know that it's going to be hard for you to stay committed to the journey that you just started, then I would suggest maybe taking a break away from those environments, just to get yourself kind of established, get your foundation good, and then try and go out to those environments. See if you can, keep that situational sobriety up, and to know that, like, continue to remind yourself of why you're doing it. Remind yourself of why you're doing it and the benefits that you're going to see from it. Don't let that first wave of, like, I really could use a drink right now, or I really wish I could be out there, enjoying one with my friend. Like, know that with, you're gonna have to take a couple steps back to go even farther forward. You gotta take one step back to take two steps forward, that type of mindset. So just don't let the initial kind of challenges derail you from the end goal, because you're gonna feel so much better. You're gonna be mentally, physically, whatever it is that you're seeking from this situational sobriety isn't gonna come in the first week. It's gonna be a journey, and it's gonna be, it's not gonna be easy for some people, or it might be harder, it might be easier for some, but just know that your journey is unique to you. And don't feel like that you have to rush it. Take the steps that are gonna allow you to succeed, whether it means staying away from those environments, surrounding yourself with a good, strong support group, seeking, help from resources on campus, whatever it may be. Take those steps at the very beginning to set yourself up for success.
Absolutely. And speaking of those steps to success and people that can help you and resources that can help you on your journey, we have quite a few resources specifically at UREC that kind of deal with how we could help with substances. So could you kind of give us an idea of some resources that you use and then kind of other on-campus resources as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I feel like JMU does a great job with providing resources to the students to allow them to succeed. What in whatever regard that is, academically, mentally, whatever regard, they're there to help put you in the best position to succeed. And in regards to, situational sobriety, like, for me, I being in athletics, I'm around, the athletic department a lot. I'm basically that's basically where I spend most of my time, and that's most people who I stay with. And I think the best avenue, for me, is just being around my teammates. And I think for most students, that's also going to be a great kind of resource for them, just like their peers, fellow, friends, people that they're close to. I feel like it's a lot easier for them to open up with somebody who they see as an equal or see as somebody that can they can relate to, someone that's kind of going through the same challenges as them. But even going a step past that, I have like sports psychologists that we have for our team, and I'm able to talk to them whenever needed, and they're a great resource. And I know on campus, UREC has a really good, substance misuse coaching program, and all I've heard great stuff about that, and they can really help anybody that feels like they need that kind of maybe more structured, more formal, not formal, but kind of another avenue to get help, in a different regard, because everybody's journey is unique and different to them, and requires speaking to different people and going down different routes. So those are definitely great, great resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. UREC, speaking from somebody who's there all the time, has a lot of substance misuse resources. The coaching is great because it's appointments that are typically worked around your schedule. And then we also have the 21st birthday program that works with students on when they turn 21 and having those conversations about, well, what does consuming substances look like to you, and how can we aid you in this process if you choose to consume? And so they're all really great programs. We also have regular wellness programs within UREC that are weekly. Some of them are like, we do dodgeball in the pool with drunk goggles to simulate how consuming certain substances would make you see. So it's really cool and eye-opening that we're able to offer things like that as well in a educational format. So yeah, tons of resources. We'll have them in our nice little description so you can reach out. I really want to thank you, Dimitri, for joining us today, and wanted to know if you have any closing thoughts for us.
No, it's been great. It's been a pleasure to be able to share, kind of my journey and my thoughts on the subject, because I definitely feel like situational sobriety is something that is very overlooked within, our generation, especially college students. I feel like it's definitely something that I've seen a lot of growth within myself. I've seen myself. I feel like I wouldn't be the person that I am today without, the situational sobriety that I partake in. And, I would just encourage anybody that is thinking about trying it. I would definitely encourage you to, and know that, your journey is unique to you. Stay strong to your values, to your beliefs, and enjoy the journey, and have a positive mindset all throughout it. So thank you guys again for having me. It's been a pleasure sharing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your journey. It's been so inspiring to hear your thoughts, and it will definitely, I think, inspire other people to maybe, if they're not considering it, at least look at people's different viewpoints and respect them a lot more. So I really, really appreciate having you on today. Well, Dukes, just closing out, I want to remind you to follow us on TikTok and Instagram to stay up to date on all things UREC and all things Well, Dukes. And as always, be well, Dukes.